a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Well, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, all the ships at sea. MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. We call it Saturday Special for a reason. Today it's going to be a special special. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon. We hope you'll stay with us. And we're going to be talking about the radio business and associated topics. So stay with us. You'll have a good time.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, now, we did prepare a promo here for the program here, and we are going to play that right now, this second. Okay, here we go. 17 years ago, my family and I purchased KSCO with a plan to build the station into a Monterey Bay news talk radio success story similar to that of a prominent San Francisco Bay Area news talk station. Have we succeeded? In many ways, yes. In some ways, no. But I can assure you that it has been one great ride. As the days of swirling ownership of KSCO come to a close, I thought it would be fitting to use one of the last Saturday specials to do an interview with the most successful radio station manager in the USA. KGO Radio has been the number one station in the San Francisco radio market, the fourth largest market in the USA, for an astounding 28 years straight. No other station has even come close. KGO President and General Manager Mickey Luckoff has been at the helm of the most successful radio station in the country for all of that time and more. To what does he attribute all this success? Find out on the next KSCO special. Talk to Mickey Luckoff himself this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Making Larger Than Life People Accessible to You Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Okay, do we have that special fanfare music, or should I play it? I'll just play it, okay? Special fanfare music here. Let's just do that. Never mind. Welcome, Mickey. Are you there? All right. Okay. Your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. The promo pretty much said it all. I can't add anything to that. You and I have been acquainted for, golly, 15, 16 years, almost as long as I've had KSCO. You have been quite an inspiration to me all these years. Oh, my God. I mean, you've been at KGO since, as its president and general manager, since 1975. Is that right?
I've been president and general manager since 75. I came to the station in 1972.
And from where did you come?
Oh, I started in the great state of Michigan, and from there went to Chicago, Illinois, did a very, very brief stint in Los Angeles, but ended up where I wanted to be, and that is in the great city of San Francisco.
So you always wanted to be in San Francisco?
Since the first day I saw it.
In radio?
In radio.
Or not? Really?
Oh, yes.
So you were a radio guy from way back, sort of like me?
In high school, college, and ever since.
I had no idea.
This is my 50th year in commercial radio.
So, did you always want to run a major market radio station? Was that your dream that you realized quite a number of years ago?
Yes, that's definitely what I wanted to aspire to, and I was very fortunate to be able to make this connection, and I like to think I made the most of it.
Well, no question about that. Let's see. I'm trying to get a fix on when you first arrived at when I was first old enough to get on a bus and travel up to San Francisco, probably, I don't know, probably 13 years old or something like that. My heroes were Jim Dunbar and Ira Blue, and I used to hang out at 277 Golden Gate Avenue when you had the window there. And I would watch the what were known as communicasters back then. I don't know when you stopped calling them communicasters, but when I grew up, I wanted to be a communicaster one day. I've told this story before on KSCOs. I don't want to bore people, but it's a fun story, so I'll tell you real quick here. Ira Blue walked past me on the street, and I don't know how I recognized him. Maybe I'd seen him on television or something like that, but he walked past me, and I engaged him in conversation. I said, "Mr. Blue, I would be very interested in a future career in radio, and can you give me some pointers?" "Well, come with me, boy," you know, and he took me in, and I actually got into the building, you know, past the security, because I was with Ira Blue. And we were walking into the elevator, and we went up to the whatever it was floor, and he said to me in that elevator, he says, "You're going to knock on many, many, many doors, and they're going to open up and slam in your face. And one day, one of the doors that you knock on is going to open up. An arm is going to reach out, grab you by the shoulder, pull you in, and you're not going to be able to get out." And that's pretty much what happened.
You know, Ira Blue, to this day, people still ask about him, talk about him. I think he's probably one of the more famous names that's ever been in San Francisco radio.
And he's been out of... He was not with KGO for probably... Was he still there when you became...
He was at the very tail end of his career. That's why I, unfortunately, barely knew him at all. He was at the very, very end, mainly because of illness.
Right. And that was what, in the late 60s, or was it early
70s? No, that was early 70s when I first got here.
Uh-huh. So so you did get to know him, and he was a talk host, but although probably had his share of fill-in hosts at the time, huh?
Yeah, as I say, I barely got to know or see Ira Blue, but he's still a legend.
You rightly deserve credit for keeping KGO on top for an astounding 28 years straight, as it said in the promo. But I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, the talk radio format was already in place when you arrived.
It was. That's absolutely right. My best recollection is that the first all news there was an all news station, I believe it was here in San Francisco. There was an all talk station, which is our sister station KABC in Los Angeles. But through the brilliance of my predecessor, Mr. Don Curran, he instituted the format that we later named News Talk. By putting all news in the commute hours and doing news-oriented talk in all other times. And the two of them blended and worked always worked very, very well together.
So I remember Don Curran as the vice president and general manager of KGO TV, Channel 7. Now,
that's right.
Was it radio and TV the same manager at the time?
No, no, Don did both. He left KGO Radio, I believe went to the East Coast to run... WABC, and I think came back here to run Channel 7 in San Francisco.
And then there were some people like Russ Coughlin, I think, who all during your immediate predecessor on radio was Don Curran.
No.
Oh, no?
After Don Curran was a gentleman by the name of Ed McLaughlin, and then there was a fellow by the name of Al Racco, and I was the fourth in succession.
Now, Ed McLaughlin, correct me if I'm wrong, is the person who brought Rush Limbaugh to fame through syndication. Am I correct?
Yes, he did. Ed went on to become president of the ABC Radio Network.
1972-ish, I believe that
right.
was.
Right. Noah's right in that. Noah's about 73, 74. But, and then... Rush Limbaugh, and this is you tell you, people always want to talk about their successes. This is a funny story about me. Rush came to see me and told me of this idea that he had. He was a Sacramento broadcaster at the time, and told me how he wanted to syndicate his show nationally. And I said, "Rush, it'll never work." I said, "It's a radio is a local medium, and I can't ever see you being able to do this in multi markets." Well, that was one of my worst calls.
Oh my gosh! So Rush came to you as the general manager of a major market radio station, but you didn't have. And was he looking for advice? Did he want a job from you at KGO? Or
no, I think he wanted to see how he could get into syndication at the time.
So did you put him in touch with Ed?
No, actually, it was another broadcaster who I spoke with as recently as yesterday who got him in touch with Ed, and they all got very rich.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's a great story. In fact, syndication. Syndication is foreign to your blood, isn't it? It really is.
Yes and no, because I run two stations in the Bay Area, and on one of them we do KGO, we do no syndication. That we don't create ourselves. We create the Deanie Dell Show.
Which is syndicated.
That is syndicated. But it's live at KGO. But KSFO is mostly syndicated.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it was, what, about 12, maybe a dozen years ago or so that KSFO was acquired by ABC Radio at your strong urging, as I recall, right?
That's right.
And the reason was to capitalize on the conservative talk radio audience?
No. Michael, that's when deregulation first came about. And I had the idea that I wanted to forestall a competitor coming after KGO. And I convinced the then owners of the company, it was called... Capital Cities Broadcasting. Very, very, very fine company, one of the best I've ever been involved with, that we needed to buy this station that was at that time absolutely like 32nd in the market. Remember, KSFO was once a fabulous radio station.
When I was in high school, even when I used to go and hang out at KGO, KSFO had bigger numbers than KGO.
Some of the biggest in...
Don Sherwood, Carter B. Smith.
Absolutely. Some of the biggest in the history of broadcasting. But I convinced Cap Cities that if we could buy this, it would be a great thing to have. I had no idea what we were going to put on the air. Absolutely no idea at all.
You just wanted to...
I wanted a blocker. I wanted a signal. I wanted another talk station in town to forestall anyone for going straight at KGO. And it had some merit to it. We put a format on the air, and it was on for 24 hours. And a fellow I reported to in New York called me and said, "Well, what do you think of it?" I said, "It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life." He says, "You're kidding. Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, there's a conservative format we've been watching in Seattle, and my former program director has been studying it very carefully. He's going to be here within a week." And a week later, he came down. We put on the conservative format.
Was that Jack?
That was Jack Swanson.
Yeah.
It had plenty of wrinkles in it, plenty of things we had to shake out, but eventually we became more or less the conservative voice of the Bay Area with KSFO.
Which is amazing, because you didn't have Rush then. Another station called KNBR did.
We didn't have Rush then, and ironically enough, the same fellow we discussed earlier, Ed McLaughlin, who was in charge of syndicating him, wouldn't let us have Rush. And
because it was committed to another station out of loyalty to that station, right?
Well, without confusing the listeners, we had Rush on weekends doing a weekend show, and he was pushing me to make it Monday through Friday. Well, at that point, he wasn't, you know, as successful as he is now.
Was it a live weekend show? Or
I believe it was. I believe it was a live. In fact, I think it was on KGO, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
And he insisted it go 5 days a week. Well, we weren't ready to put him 5 days a week on KGO.
Uh-huh.
So he moved him to another Bay Area radio station, but who really didn't do a good job with him. He was more or less...
It wasn't really a talk station.
No,
really.
It was an all-sports station.
Yeah.
And he was really a fish out of water on that station, but Ed refused to let us have him year after year after year. He'd lead us on. We'd make all kinds of presentations.
Was it sort of a spiteful thing, maybe? Or?
Well, let's leave that to conjecture.
Okay.
But anyhow, we finally were able to obtain Rush, and that station has seen good success ever since.
Well, back in 1990, when I made the deal to purchase the radio station that I had always wanted to own since I was a kid, KSCO AM 1080, and turn it into the KGO of the Monterey Bay, when I made the deal, you know, subject to inspecting the books and the, you know, and the contracts and so forth, I came across a contract that said that where Rush Limbaugh, the Rush Limbaugh show, had been given 90-day notice, and it had been terminated on KSCO. And, you know, I got very concerned when I saw that in the papers, and I said, "Look, I've always wanted to own this station, but... you know, the future of this station is with this guy named Rush, who was starting to get pretty big." And I could feel in my bones back then that he was going to be just huge. And so I said, you better hope no other station in the market, you know, picks up this, has picked this up since you've given 90-day notice, because if you don't undo that notice, this buyer is walking. And they got it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because KSCO was pretty much like you described KSFO. It was a station that had a fine heritage, you know, serving the local community. It never stopped that. I mean, whenever there's a flood or an earthquake, to this day, everybody tunes to KSCO. I shouldn't say this, but I find myself sometimes wishing that there, well, you know, so our ratings would go up, you know. So, but in any case, we were able to get the franchise with Rush and build from that. We've always considered Rush an anchor tenant, if you will. And I'm with you. I mean, as local, as much local as you can possibly do. And when you're a smaller station, it's pretty hard to do all local. I mean, much as you'd like to. We don't have a fat wallet, you know. We don't have a big corporation behind us. So looking back, with the exception of Rush, pretty much in the early years of my ownership of KSCO, much of it was indeed local.
Well, it's Michael, you make an interesting point, because right now in our industry, because of syndication, it is very difficult to find good on-air talent, talk talent, because a good on-air talk talent has to have that wonderful ability to inform, entertain, and engage the audience. Three very, very difficult elements to find in any one particular individual. Well, because so many stations have gone to syndicated product, there's no farm system anymore. We can't go to Fresno, Modesto, even Sacramento, and find a lot of good talent, because the best of the best have gone into syndication.
Someone at KGO over the years has come to KSCO and listened, because some of our people are now broadcasting on your airwaves. People like Jennifer Hodges, people like Dave Fowkes.
Is there someone there that we haven't seen that we should steal?
Jeez. Yeah, me. Yeah. In fact, okay, you brought it up. You brought it up.
I have an application form for you.
Okay, you brought it up. So I will just tell you. I'll just put you on the spot. So maybe someday, after we find the perfect buyer for KSCO, so that I can't make a mistake. And if you're still at the helm, one of my greatest dreams has been to be a fill-in host on KGO. But you probably wouldn't want that, because I might say KSCO by mistake.
Well, worse things have happened, and we have a delay.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You use the audio condom.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
All right. Anyhow, we're talking with Mickey Luckoff, who's president and general manager of KGO AM 810. We're AM 1080. That reminds me of a story here. You know, many of the radio stations, big market stations, live and die by ratings. You know, it's been said many times. We don't at KSCO. We don't live and die by ratings, but it's nice to. We're happy when our ratings go up, obviously. We had a promo running on our station maybe 10 or 12 years ago that I put together, because one day I went to a coffee shop that I frequented, and really good food. And I sat at the counter, because I was by myself, and I found a chair, and there were two people next to me on either side, and I engaged one of them in a conversation. I said, "Do you listen to talk radio?" He said, "Oh, I love talk radio. I just love it." And I said, what station do you listen to? And the person said, KGO. And you could have, this was a Santa Cruz person, right? And you could have, it was like I'd been stabbed in the chest. And I said, okay. After I recovered, I said, "Now, would you mind telling me who your favorite hosts on KGO are?" I love Dag, and I like Eric Sheck, and I love Michael Zwirling. And right then, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, you guys do great in the ratings, no question about it. But at least some of the diaries are you getting credit for our good programming, at least back then? And that told me, oh my God, I got to start taking more pages out of KGO's book here, and literally and figuratively. I don't think what's your rule? I mean, no more than like 4 minutes goes by without the hosts letting the listener know what station they're listening to, dial position and call letters?
No, there's standard aggressions when you come in or out of a phone call after a news story. They automatically identify the radio station. But a lot of that's going to change, Michael, because in the major markets, we're going to an electronic measurement system, excuse me, called PPM. Personal people meter.
Uh-huh.
And identifying the station repeatedly is really going to lose a lot of its value, because people are going to be carrying a little thing on their belt or in their purse that's really like a pager. Excuse me. And so it'll obviate the necessity of all that identification.
But it can't hoit. It'll never hoit, right? I mean, because
no.
It's part of the branding. So again, I mean, we had some great local talent in the first 5 or 6 years, and that's when this episode took place. And the person thought that it was KGO talent, and it really wasn't. It was KSCO talent. So
you're still angry about it.
Not that I'm angry at myself. Sure. So instead of doing something about it, it's one of the episodes for the KSCO movie, you know, so that will someday be produced. Wouldn't trade the last 17 years for all the money in the world. It's just been a wonderful ride, and it might not be over. I mean, we want to handpick the buyer for the place, and so far, quite a number of people have shown an interest, but no offers. And so brokers call me all the time, media brokers, and they say, say the word, and we can get you a pretty good price here for an ethnic broadcaster ethnic broadcasters are buying AM radio stations with big signals. But not too many other people are buying buying any kind of old media. And when I say old media, I'm talking about radio, television, print, radio, television, newspapers, magazines. New media is internet related. Now, any old medium that has any brain in its head, you know, is at least going to have a website. I mean, you can't really function without a website. Some websites, if you're going to do it right, you need to have a whole staff to run your website, which I assume that you do. I don't know whether you hire it out or whether you got a bunch of people paying attention to your website, probably as many pay attention to your on-air signal. No,
it's not. It's not nearly that big yet. It's a growing thing, but it's becoming a bigger element in certainly in the radio and in the local television business. But no, we haven't staffed to that extent yet. I think we're still growing. We're still learning, but it's going to become more and more of an important element for us.
You're still on top of the ratings. Are the numbers the same, or do you see that fewer people are listening to radio because of iPods and CDs? And
there's no question. There's been fractionalization. Some of it's satellite, not much, but some of it's satellite, iPods, CDs, as you name it. But you know, through the years, Michael, radio and AM radio has had so many competitors that were going to kill it, ruin it. Send it to its death, and
like movie theaters when TV came in, right?
Right, and radio still survives. Radio still does very, very, very well. It's been off for the last 2-3 years. All of advertising's been off the last 2-3 years, but I have every confidence that it'll emerge.
To what do you attribute that, Mickey?
Well, I think our economy is going through some very, very interesting changes. I think there are a lot more places now for advertisers to spend their money. I think that there's been some question about the value of radio ratings. They were never scientific. They're going to become more scientific.
Yeah.
It's going to change our industry completely, or I shouldn't say completely, but considerably. So we're going through a real change in the word that's constantly used is currency. We're going through a change in currency because ratings are going to be stated in a different way. They're going to be taken in a different way. So it's going to be a whole new world out there in very, very short order.
I'm excited about that. What about you?
I'm anxious about it. We're seeing some things in the electronic media. It's only been done now in Houston and Philadelphia. They've some other markets they started in and pulled back in. But the ethnic stations are being hurt in the ratings. The news talk stations, it's a mixed bag. Some of the youth stations are doing well, and the one that insults me the most is the beautiful music stations are doing well. And one of the reasons they do...
Insult you?
Yeah, it insults me because beautiful music stations are stations which I think people turn on for background.
Oh.
And I think very often people don't even realize they're on. They don't pay attention to them. They don't pay attention to the copy that's read for whether it's public service, whether it's news, whether it's advertising, whatever the case may be. And the way it'll work going forward... is if you're just walking into a store and they're playing a beautiful music station in the background, that's going to register in your personal people meter. That's going to elevate their particular ratings. And it's just something I've always objected to. I've always said if I had a chance to own a radio station, and I've always wanted to, the opportunity to own a beautiful music station. Product costs very, very little to put on the air. It gets great ratings. But can it sell product for its advertisers? I think much less so than spoken word radio stations.
We, in our sales efforts at KSCO, have always pointed out to potential advertisers that one news talk listener is worth three or four, if not more, music listeners, because news talk is a foreground format. People are glued to every word, including the word of the advertisers, their messages, and music is a background.
And you're absolutely right. Music is a background, and our spoken word type of formats are foreground. We make lousy background. I'll be the first to say, unless you want company for the dog when you go outside.
Yeah. No, you won't find this playing in a business unless it's a sole proprietor business where someone works by themselves like I do. You know, I don't like to have news talk on because I can't really concentrate. If I'm concentrating on what the political show or whatever, I can't be concentrating on my work. But some people have a repetitive type of job where they don't really need to concentrate on it, and if they like talk radio, they'll have it on. But if there's a bunch of other people working with them, forget it. It doesn't work.
Well, one good thing is coming out of this. You know, AM does not penetrate office buildings very well. And what we are starting to find now are people able to listen to AM radio, news talk radio, on their computers.
Right.
And they do it at work.
Right.
And that is starting to become a better element for us.
Now, how do you deal with the Radio Industry, you know, Association of America, RIAA, and how do you deal with, you know, extra music licensing requirements? I guess you're a big company, so it doesn't really matter if someone's going to if some new group or organization is going to extort money from you. But that's the way I feel about it. I don't feel that a talk radio station should be paying music licensing fees at all. You know,
well, I don't disagree with you, and we have for many, many years. It's just part of what that industry has been able to generate for their musicians and their participants.
And yet, when the internet, when more and more people are listening to radio on the internet, you now have to get music licenses, separate music licenses for the internet. And I don't think that that's fair because a person is not going to be listening to a broadcast signal of a given station and the internet signal of that station at the same time. It ain't going to happen.
That's true.
So it's sort of like double dipping that these music licensing companies are being allowed to do. It really sticks in my craw. It sticks in my craw like having to run serious satellite radio commercials on your free radio station sticks in your craw, and that sticks in my craw too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just awful. I really enjoyed our recent conversation during which you shared with me how unnerved you were about corporate forcing you to do something which, you know, effectively, you know, which is counterproductive to your own business, which
one
is crazy.
One of the things that happens, Michael, when we're going through a difficult economy, and although we're very restrictive about the advertising that we take, I think we turn down probably more types of commercials than most other stations would ever turn down. But when things get tight in the economy, we hear on all kinds of radio stations commercials that we wouldn't ordinarily take, ones that necessarily don't sound all that good. And look at your local television stations. Look at the infomercials now that are just filling their weekend time schedule. That would never have happened in the past. But because the industry is going through a little bit of a tough time, you see all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily want to see.
I know you to be a radio purist, and radio purists do not put infomercials on stations that they control. Right? I mean, and you've said to me, as long as I'm in charge, there will not be infomercials, you know, on KGO.
That's right.
It's in your blood, you know. I mean, the anti-infomercial. And I don't blame you. I mean, you got a wonderfully successful radio station, you know, and infomercials tend to chase an audience away. There's no question about it. And people don't like to be, they like to be entertained, informed, stimulated. They don't like much more than they like to be sold to.
There are a couple of programs out there, not that we're going to take them on KGO, but there are a few, I say a few programs out there which are informative mutual fund type shows, to name one of them, that are truly informative, but they're selling a product. There's no two ways about it. They are selling a product. There's a mortgage show that's lurking out there these days. They are informative to a degree, but they're, let's face it, they're there just like these things you see on the local television stations trying to sell athletic equipment when they have the beautiful models on, male and female, and in incredible shape, but they're there because they want to sell the machines. Those are out there, and it's easy money for a broadcaster. But I think when you're trying to build station loyalty like we are in radio, television doesn't do that well. But when you're trying to build station loyalty, to me, it's a cancer. You take one because it's easy money. Then, well, why don't we take two? Why don't we take three? Why don't we take four? Why don't we do all weekends? Well, I give this example. Many, many years ago, KGO was an all-religious radio station. And a new owner came in. I think it's when ABC first came in. This is a lot of years ago. And they decided to go beautiful music on that particular station. Well, the sales department said, well, wait a minute. We don't want to get rid of all these paid commercial shows. Look at all the money they're bringing in. And someone had to make the decision. Look, we want to make this a full-service radio station, and you're going to have to cut that stuff off and get rid of it. It's going to be a revenue drain for a while, but you can't build a successful product if you're incorporating that stuff, which is such easy money.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the new corporate owner of KGO, and do they still call it ABC Radio? Yeah, they do, right?
We call it ABC Radio. The parent company is called Citadel.
Uh-huh. That's the same company that bought out the smaller multi-state group owner, Fuller Jeffrey, the Bob Fuller and J.J. Jeffrey, mm-hmm. who owned and operated KSCO AM
right.
and FM.
Right.
So Citadel ended up buying buying their station. I think they paid $63 million six or seven years ago, maybe a little more, for their 15 or 20 radio stations. And they've become quite big. I mean, Larry Wilson was running it then, and then he took it private, and now he's out of it. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so, well, gee, I remember talking to you several times when new owners were stepping in. And you were a little concerned each time that, you know, that people, you know, the new owners might try to fix what wasn't broke. What about now?
Well, this is the fourth owner I've run this operation for. ABC, which was a fun company, a very wonderful company. Capital Cities, which was just incredibly professional and tremendous integrity. then Disney, who really should never have been in the radio business. They didn't understand it. They didn't like it. They didn't want it. And 2.5 years after Disney told us it wasn't for sale, it ended up being purchased finally by a company called Citadel, which you've described. And
while it was owned by Disney, you were running not two but three stations, including a Radio Disney station.
They had
station,
a Radio
right?
Disney station, that's right.
But and you don't obviously don't run that anymore,
no,
do
that,
you? Did that, was that not
that
excluded
went with Disney.
From the sale?
No, that went, that went with Disney. They,
I see.
They kept the Radio Disney stations. And now this company you described so well called Citadel owns it. What goes into that every time there's a change of ownership, and many, many stations have gone through this as many times as we have, you have a culture change. No matter who the company is, no matter how good they are, you have a culture change. And it it worries and concerns employees, and it's very important that you try to keep them all comfortable, happy, secure. Sometimes you're guessing at what might happen, but as I've told our employees each time, we're a very, very successful radio station. Anyone who came in here and made massive changes would be foolish. It's unlikely, and so far I've been right. But one never knows, and I think the toughest one I went through was the 2.5 years after Disney said it wasn't going to be, it wasn't for sale, and we all knew that it was. There was a package out on the street, and keeping the employees happy over that 2.5 year period from that time was one of the most difficult things I've ever done.
Oh wow, I'm projecting that on myself here. I mean, nobody. When I decided that that KSCO was going to be for sale, I said, "Hey, we're not going to do it the standard way. We're not going to secretly list with a media broker somewhere that will secretly show the radio station after midnight and on weekends and so forth, because you can't keep that stuff secret from the staff anyhow. So you might as well be upfront about it, which is the way I've always operated the whole radio station. You know,
to your credit.
People like our fabulous director of production, whose voice you heard, you know, getting us set up here, Bill Graff. It frosts him the way I wash the station's dirty laundry on the radio. He says, that's not professional. And he's, yeah, right.
He listens, too.
Yeah, right. So, Bill, you know, what's wrong with being honest? What's wrong with being
well,
real?
Ask Mr. Luckoff there what his opinion is of airing the station's dirty laundry on the air. I just think it's the number one no-no rule in all of broadcasting, and I've been around almost as long as he has.
I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
In fact, I do a show quarterly, nothing like this elaborate setup, but every quarter when Ron Owens and I are getting along, he'll have me on the show and take calls from listeners. And the program director absolutely goes into a shell because he said, why would you want to go on the air to hear listeners call up and air their dirty laundry? Invariably, they'll call up and they'll say, I like this show, I like that show, I like this show, but I can't stand the person you have on at this time. Or I don't understand why you do this on weekends or so on and so forth. Well, it's interesting. It is doing that because when you air your dirty laundry, your loyal listeners are going to say, hey, you know what? He's right. I don't like that announcer they have on at 7 o'clock either. So in some ways it's bad. In other ways, listeners like the idea that they do have input, and they do on KGO. I answer every fan letter. I answer every email. And when listeners call up with a good suggestion, we truly do research it and sometimes implement.
And so you share my sentiments about that. I mean, I just heard you agree with Bill Graff about airing dirty laundry. But if you really had a problem with it, you would politely decline Ron Owens's invitation for you to be on, because it's invariably going to lead to some dirty laundry washing.
Yeah, your laundry's dirtier than mine, though.
I would agree. I would agree. I'm proud of it, and our technical difficulties are the best in the business.
Watch it.
Yeah? Well, that's not you. That's not you. It's... All right, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's 10:44. We're going to be on right up until noontime. Special guest is Mickey Luckoff. He has the same first name as I do, Michael, but everybody knows him as Mickey, so that's what we're going to call him. And we're going to open the phone lines right after the commercial break. And are you going to run the spots there, Bill, or is our good friend in the other room?
No, I've got control here.
Okay, good. Yeah, so here we go. Stay with us, gang. We'll be right back on your favorite radio station right after this group of commercial messages.
Today's Saturday Special is brought to you by Drink Act, the new healthy energy drink that makes you feel great. If you'd like to be your own boss and get great benefits, Drink Act is looking for independent dealers for a fast-growing business. If you're interested in the business, come by KSCO today during the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to 12 noon to get information on being an independent dealer and to get your free sample of Drink Act. Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone. It's that time of year again when you'll be running your old inefficient heater. This year, Day and Night wants to make sure you don't get left out in the cold. We want to help you make sure your home is comfortable, healthy, and efficient. We will even pay you to replace your old furnace. That's right, pay you to replace that old furnace. The new Day-Night furnaces have newer, more efficient heat exchangers that will keep your family safer and more comfortable this winter. Not to mention, the newer furnaces are 20 to 30% more efficient than the older models. And with energy prices on the rise, that means lower bills for you. So if you need a new furnace or just think you might, call for a free estimate. Staley's Heating in Santa Cruz, 831-633-3399. In Monterey, Nichols Plumbing and Heating at 831-393-3470. And AA Heating in Salinas at 831-758-5696. If you didn't get those names, visit us on the web at www.comfortdayandnight.com. That's www.comfortdayandnight.com. Remember, Day and Night wants you cozy all winter long. Great people, great neighborhoods, great neighbors. That's what we have a lot of in our area, but some people forget to make the time to enjoy these things. Randy Turnquist has a passion for real estate and homes, and of course, neighborhoods. His neighbors will tell you his family and their activities make the neighborhood a better place to live. So don't be shy. Step up and make things happen in your neighborhood. If you don't know how to start, call Randy at 831-566-2590 or visit KSCO.com and search for Realtor.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi, this is Steve Thomas from Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens. We're open from 10 to 4 this time of year, 7 days a week. We specialize in new and used building materials, pottery, and ceramics from San Francisco and Italy. We've got lots of wrought iron, ornate, solid iron fencing with gates, custom-made tile, and building materials, new and used of all types.
Oh, we come here looking for stuff to fix old houses, you know, like the old tile and stuff like that, and old doors. That's what we're looking for today, is doors.
Good prices?
Always good prices.
You know you can haggle, right?
I've haggled.
Are you a professional haggler?
Sometimes. If I have to be. I'm good at it, too.
Good. And is green building important to you? Is it important to recycle things?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you got to do that.
The phone number is 465-6990. Remember, that's Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens, 1575 38th Avenue, right behind Orchard Supply.
And visit CapitolaFreight.com.
I have good news for all of you who want to have a great smile. Hello, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody. I've talked to you many times about how I offer sedation dentistry to take care of complex dental problems. Today, I have good news about how you can achieve a great new smile without having to have your teeth irreversibly reshaped. You may have heard about how porcelain veneers can be placed on worn or discolored teeth to make them look new. However, your teeth had to be subjected to moderate to aggressive grinding in order to make those veneers look natural. Now, we have a new porcelain veneer that is as thin as a contact lens, yet as strong as your natural teeth. This means you can have the brilliant, natural smile you want with little or no grinding, shots, or long sessions in the dental chair. Get the smile you've always wanted with the teeth you've always had. Give my office a call. I'm Dr. Guy Peabody.
Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343. Find Dr. Peabody's sedation dentistry on the web at drpeabody.com or in the Yellow Pages. You too can wake up to a beautiful smile. Okay, welcome back to the closing 9 minutes of hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ with special guest Mickey Luckoff from KGO News Talk 810 in San Francisco and San Jose and Oakland and just about everywhere else on the West Coast here. You know, I like to brag about the range of KSCO because we have our sticks in a lagoon that connects to the Pacific Ocean, you know, our transmitting towers. And our 10,000 watts, because of the placement of the towers in that lagoon, all engineers tell me that it gives us an effective range of a 50,000-watt station. KGO is a 50,000-watt licensed station. You're licensed to five times more power than we are. And you have, I hate to say it, an even better...
We're also based in saltwater.
You're based in true saltwater. Yeah. You're actually, on San Francisco Bay. We're in a lagoon that's brackish. It's half salt and half fresh. So your site is way better than ours. But our site is the best, is the second best.
But I've heard you've been seen pouring salt into the water.
Yeah, well, God, it's amazing. You've got your, you've got your snoops out there. I got to tell this story. I got to tell the Jose story. Remember the Jose story? Yeah. Once and only once since I've had the stage, you're always invited down. I've invited you down many times. Once you came down, and it was only because you were on your way to or from a leukemia society function. You were big supporters at KGO of raising funds for the Leukemia Society. But you did stop at KSCO one day, and... most of the people at the radio station, you know, just knew you by name, if not by sight. But I said, Mickey Luckoff is coming, and you visited the radio station. And when we got back to the part where we have traffic, where we have our traffic director, and our smaller station, traffic director means the same as it means at your station, they program the traffic of the commercials and the programming on the radio station. But this traffic director did that at KSCO and was the on-air traffic reporter because, you know, dual purposes, dual services. And his name was Jose, a good guy, wonderful guy, was with us for years. And I introduced him as Jose, who does traffic and traffic. And you said to him, where do you get your traffic? Yeah, Jose, where do you monitor your traffic? He says, well, mostly from a radio station across over the hill. And you pressed him. He said, well, what station? He says, just a station, you know, just a station. He was clearly uncomfortable that you were pressing him. And finally you squeezed it out of him, and it was KCBS, and it was like the dagger had been
shoved through your heart, just like the dagger had been shoved through my heart at the restaurant, or, you know, that time when the person said their favorite radio station was KGO, when it turned out it really was KSCO. And you said, why? You said, well, why is it? Well, they've got really good reports and really up to date, and they do it very often and this and that. A few days later, I was out on a walk. We like to do beach walks, you know, around the lagoon, you know, to have – I get our best business done that way.
That's when you're pouring the salt into the water.
Okay. And Jose said, who was that? I don't know who was – who was that? You know, who was so pushy and wanted to drive? I said, don't you know who that was? That was the head of KGO. Oh, now I understand why he was so upset. Okay.
Well,
so,
first of all, Michael, you've now mentioned another set of call letters.
Okay.
So that means you have to buy lunch. That's number one. But number two, it's that serves something very important for us, because when he told us that in a certain corridor, he thought that other radio station was covering it better than we were, that changed real quick.
Oh, I know. And here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. A few days later, you called the radio station. You called KSCO. Rosemary answered, and you said, this is Mickey Luckoff. I'd like to talk to Jose, please. So on the intercom, Jose, it's Mickey Luckoff from KGO. I wasn't there that day, but, I could imagine, Mickey's probably, he liked Jose, you know, he's probably going to steal him to go to work at KGO. But no, what happened was you had, I guess it was Ken Berry, was your program director at the time. You had him on the line and you said, Jose, I've got Ken Berry on the line here, my program director. Please tell him what you told me about how you get your traffic. So Jose told him what he had told you a few days earlier at KSCO, and you said, you hear that, Ken? Fix it. Thanks, Jose. Click. That's the end. that's how you do things. That's why you're a successful radio station and we're a complete failure.
I wouldn't say that.
No. Well, you know what? I'm not a complete failure. I'd just like to... all right, we got 4 minutes left in the hour. I said we were going to take some phone calls. Every time I go back to the call screen, to the phone thing here... it's not there, so let me see if I can bring it back up here. You're listening to KSCO AM 1080. Phone numbers are 479-1080 if you want to call in. We've got a break starting in about 3 minutes. We have time to take one call. That would be this hour. That would be Neil in Hollister. So let's put Neil on the air and say, hey, welcome to KSCO with MZ and Mickey.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Like most people, when I moved to San Francisco... I became addicted to KGO in part because of their strong signal. But then there was the Loma Prieta earthquake, and KGO went off the air to my amazement and horror. I figured this has to be bad. And I scanned the radio dial and got a nice strong signal from KSCO and have been a regular listener ever since.
Thank you, Neil. That earthquake was pretty amazing. I mean, that earthquake.
Well,
everybody's towers fell over, including yours.
Yeah, they did. We lost two towers.
But not ours.
But, Neil, we're back on the air.
Well, I understand that. But now, you see, once you came back on the air after listening to KSCO for a number of months, I now had something I never had before, and that is a basis of comparison. And suddenly, I started noticing that my previous favorite, Ron Owens, was far too insecure for all his talents. And he would be very competitive with guests, especially in the area of humor. And then more recently, I noticed that I made a game of this for years, that late at night, if I would get up to go to the bathroom or whatever and turn on KGO, I would always, 99% of the time, catch your late night people, either Bernie or Ray Taliaferro, either bashing Bush or Christianity. And that amused me for a year or two, and then I realized this is so slanted. It's pathetic. And then the Pope died, and Ray Taliaferro did 20 minutes on God having sex with Mary in order to create Jesus, and asking Mary what turned her on. You know, I mean the... I am amazed to this day that you would keep someone on the air that was so incredibly disrespectful of other people's beliefs. But I do want to compliment you for snagging Gene Burns. I liked him a lot, and he lost his national show. And then when he turned up on KGO, I thought that was wonderful. I think putting Len Tillum in place of the repetitive news hour was a stroke of genius. I only wish that happened like 10 years earlier. And I meant to ask you, you had a theater critic that I used to adore. He was a very rotund man. I know that because some of the other communicasters used to...
Hey, Neil. Neil, we got 14, 13, 12 seconds to the top of the hour. So,
what was the theater critic's name?
Were you referring to Jack Brooks?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, Jack unfortunately passed away on the air.
This is KSCO Santa Cruz Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here's
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Barnes. The 1-2 punch, a wintry weathermaker moving across the eastern half of the nation now as the second such storm this week. As much as a foot of snow falling in Kansas.
We have plenty of rain that is moving from the Ohio Valley south. That's where we're seeing the changeover coming in. Cold enough air is happening that snow is coming down from Detroit all the way to Chicago. And we actually have some heavy snow warnings in effect for parts of the Midwest. This is where we're expected to see the greatest snowfall within the next 24 hours.
Fox meteorologist Domenica Davis saying it will spawn a nor'easter tonight and tomorrow, targeting cities from Washington to Boston. The U.S. backing down at a conference in Bali, so a climate change plan can go forward. Fox's David Piper's in the Fox Asia Bureau with details.
The U.S. delegation have been seen as opposing key elements of the plan. The deal only came today when the U.S. dramatically dropped its opposition to a proposal by developing countries for rich nations to do more to help them fight rising greenhouse emissions. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who had returned to the talks to urge delegates to agree, described the deal as a defining moment for him. It will mean there will now be 2 years of talks to adopt a new treaty to succeed the Kyoto Pact, which the U.S. did not sign.
Earthquakes shaking eastern Indonesia.
Today we've had two moderate or strong earthquakes in Indonesia. One was a magnitude 5.8, and then there was another one an hour and a half later, and that was a magnitude 6.3.
John Bellini of the U.S. Geological Survey. No reports of major damage or injury. The president using his weekly radio address to call for Congress to pass war funding bills before the holiday break.
Our troops are striking blows against the terrorists and extremists in Iraq and Afghanistan. And these funds are critical to their continued success.
In their address, Democrats touted the energy bill that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says will likely see passage next week. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Talk salutes our listeners in the natural state of Arkansas. Listening to Fox News Talk, and stay tuned as we continue our salute to the 50 states of freedom.
Pakistan's president with a message today. Pervez Musharraf telling his nation he has lifted emergency rule that he declared 6 weeks ago. The former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, speaking to Sky News, says it's a good step, but she remains concerned about the upcoming parliamentary elections.
We've got problems with the voters' list where we believe that certain officials have been posted so that they can siphon off the ballots and give it to favored candidates. So these are the kind of issues that we're looking at.
Bhutto is one of the candidates in the January 8th elections. There's a push here at home for a presidential debate that would focus on science.
A debate on science is really a debate on the economy, on competitiveness, on health care, medicine, on the environment, on national security.
And that's why physics professor Lawrence Krauss and a group of Nobel laureates and others are pushing for a presidential debate focused on science and technology. They are not advocating a
science quiz here,
but rather a forum to determine which candidate
has enough basic literacy to distinguish sound advice from unsound advice and to know what the general major pressing issues are. You know, if they didn't know the Holocaust happened, we would not expect them to be able to deal with foreign policy in Europe or the Middle East very effectively.
The Science Debate 2008.com team is awaiting official response from the parties. Holly Hickman, Fox News Radio.
He made the comments a decade ago, but now that Mike Huckabee is running for president, they're causing a bit of a stir. The Southern Baptist minister-turned-politician said women are wise to submit to their husbands. Now, that same statement appears in the Bible, but Democratic strategist Liz Chatterton says his use of the phrase in public remarks are going to hurt his campaign.
If Mike Huckabee thinks this is true, he should graciously submit to a head exam. There's no way that modern women are going to live with this. And he just said it 10 years ago. If he'd said it 30 years ago, maybe. But 10 years ago, nobody's going to stand for this.
But a Republican strategist says anything that smacks of an attack on Huckabee over his faith could actually help him in Iowa. I'm Chris Barnes. This is Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, December 15th, 2007, and today's forecast calls for a mixture of clouds and sun. Highs should reach around 60 degrees with winds light and variable. Tonight, you can expect cloudy intervals, and lows should reach around 39 degrees. Once again, winds should be light and variable. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies becoming mainly cloudy. In the afternoon, highs around 60 degrees, and tomorrow night, cloudy along with occasional showers and lows around 43 degrees. Today's Monterey Bay boaters forecast, east winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 foot or less along with the northwest swell 3 to 6 feet at 15 seconds. Outside the station, it's 52 degrees. The time is just about 11:06, and we're getting ready to bring you hour number 2 of the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but...
Okay, we're going into hour number 2 of the Saturday special. And we've had a great hour number 1 with KGO's president, Mickey Luckoff. Hour number 2 is ahead.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Be on the air right up until 12 noon here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, where we do not permit stupid people to listen. There is a reason we have the most intelligent audience, and that is it's by design. We have that. Do we have that idea, the intelligent ID? I mean, I have that here in the computer, but I'm get it ready, Bill, if you can, if you got it handy, because we really need. Sometimes we need to remind people, especially around the holiday season, that if you know, all right, that'll be good. So, and in the meantime, if you want to give us a call and talk to KGO's president and general manager, Mickey Luckoff, right here on our Saturday special stage, call us at 479-1080 in area 831. If you're outside of 831, you have to dial the area code first. If you want to send us a fax, it's 475-2967. And if you do that, call the radio station at 475-1080 and let us know to go look at the fax machine and bring it in. If we have a nice cartoon from Serial Faxer, it'd be great. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. You mean want to play it now? Okay. It's MZ. It's the holiday season, and I've been thinking seriously about a special gift for all of the audience, and that is a suspension of our rule that stupid people may not listen to this radio station. For the holiday season, we are going to make an exception and allow stupid people to listen to KSCO, just because it's the holiday season. Happy holidays to all of you from MZ. Hey, thanks, Bill. That's great. I've forgotten that we had done that.
I thought that was better than the IDs.
Sure,
it's
much
a personalized,
better.
You know, holiday greeting.
Right. Thank you very much. 479-1080 if you want to call us here on the electric radio and talk to us on the air. Who's been waiting the longest? Probably Robert in Santa Cruz. So let's bring Robert on. Well, Robert, welcome to KSCO. You're on with Mickey and MZ. And Bill, he's there too. Hello. Hey, Bill, are we up?
Yeah, we're up. I don't know what's going
Robert
on.
Robert in Santa Cruz must have gone to, I don't know.
Why don't we try another call?
Put him on a call. I'll put him on hold here. And let's try Tony in Santa Cruz. Let's try Tony in Santa Cruz.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Tony, you're on the air on KSCO.
Great, thanks.
I didn't hang up on Robert. Maybe he just went to relieve nature's internal pressure or something. I don't know.
Could
but,
be.
We'll try him again. If he's not there, then he loses his place forever.
I want to thank you for making the exception, because when I accidentally got on to KSCO today, I couldn't figure out how I'd gotten there. But
oh.
That's how.
So, no.
And then I heard Mickey's
no,
voice,
I could
and
tell.
I said, I got a call.
So you listen to KSCO and KGO then, huh?
Michael can't say that that's true. I listen to KGO exclusively, and I just can't take Gene Burns and food this morning, so I was on the way to K-Pig when I happened on the KGO.
It's not totally exclusively.
Well,
if you can't stand the Gene Burns show that's on right now, it's not totally exclusively.
Point taken.
Okay. So what do we have to do to get you as a more frequent listener than just by accident today?
Wait a minute.
Sell the station to KGO.
We don't want to convert her.
Okay. All right. All right.
Sell the station to KGO. I didn't hear the beginning. Is that why you're there, Mickey?
I'm not sure why I'm here.
Oh, I've always wanted Mickey to be a guest on the Saturday special, and I figured if I don't ask him now, I might not be able to have him on, because it might not be my station to have a Saturday special anymore.
Oh.
We hope that doesn't happen. We hope the buyer will come forth who will continue the local talk flavor and character of the radio station. We really, truly want that, ladies and gentlemen. I kid around a lot, but I think you know that I'm real serious when I say that.
Michael, I'd like to say something. There is something to that. While I was waiting, I realized that I've been listening to KGO since Ira Blue days. I have never called KGO, not once, ever, and I'm totally addicted. I listen to it every day. Every day.
Well, we appreciate that, but
I have called KSCO twice. I called another time when I happened on KSCO. So it would seem that the local flavor works for me in that sense, because it's just too intimidating to call the bigger station.
Well, you know, a very, very small percentage of listeners end up calling in. A very, very small percentage.
Yeah, way less than 1%.
So you're not alone there at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, thanks for calling KSCO, and
sure.
We'll understand if you want to listen to it. In fact, we would like it if you want to listen to us even more.
Just can't stand your politics, Michael.
My personal politics?
Well, you and your mom.
Well, my mother is a lot more vocal with her politics.
Yes,
You must be listening enough to know. The more I talk to you, the more I'm beginning to believe that you're more of a KSCO listener than a KGO listener.
One would think, huh? But it's true. I've only listened a couple of times,
okay.
Maybe three.
All right. Well, listen, KSCO is a voice for everybody, but not everybody chooses to use it. So what can I say, Tony? I'm happy you've chosen to use it today.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay,
take care,
okay?
Bye-bye.
All right, here's Susan in Santa Cruz, listener of both stations. You're on, Susan.
Hi. Michael, I love your politics.
What are my politics? I'm an individual. I hate labels.
All right, I'm sorry I said that. I hate labels, too.
Okay.
But I love listening to your mom, and I should have called in more or emailed you. I've emailed a couple times. But when your mom does her thing, I just go, yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, she's...
It's so refreshing to hear
she's
that.
She's a pretty, pretty talented lady, and she doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks. I mean, she's...
Good for her. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her for speaking up.
Right.
Because this is not what we hear on the media. We don't hear that side. And another thing, I love Fox Radio. I mean, they're way more... middle of the road.
Right.
And I have been a pretty regular listener of KGO, but I'm sorry to say I switched over to KSCO, and I do bounce back and forth. I love Gene Burns, and I like to listen to your news in the morning.
Well, KGO is a San Francisco Bay Area local station. We're a Monterey Bay Area local station, so it's okay. I mean,
right.
Mickey pointed out off the air here, we're in separate metros, and his signal is so strong that it really booms into our market. That's just the way it is.
Right.
We boom into the lower half of his market. Boom is, I guess, a correct word. We certainly don't boom into, the San Francisco area. You can hear us in San Francisco, but we're real scratchy, and we would never, normally expect to have a listening audience up here.
I think the word is penetrate.
That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I want to say, one of the things, is that I love the, I don't know even how to express this, but I feel like I know some of the people. I have never met them. I mean, I love Rosemarie. I love Rosie Allen. I mean, just hearing her, and I don't think she's ever expressed politics so much.
Hey, Susan,
yes.
Do you remember the movie American Graffiti?
Yes.
Okay. Did you like that movie? Did you see it and like it?
Not really a lot.
You mean you didn't see it? You saw it and you didn't care for it?
Not a lot, yes.
Okay. The reason I bring it up, George Lucas, that was George Lucas's first big hit. You know, and of course he went on to have Star Wars, which was a mega hit several years after that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I saw an interview with George Lucas on the DVD, the making of American Graffiti. It's one of the few DVDs of the movie I love enough to own. I've got to own that because it's such a great thing. Wolfman Jack was in that movie, and Wolfman Jack was sitting in the chair in the front of the same microphone that I sat at the old KRE Berkeley radio station. It was where I had my first paid job in radio, and I got goosebumps when I saw that. But in watching the interview with George Lucas, he was talking about how it was very important for him to integrate scenes with Wolfman Jack because it's so interesting the way he observed growing up the connection, the personal connection people have with radio personalities. And that was one of the main themes of American Graffiti. And, Wolfman Jack was a hero of mine. I mean, I used to listen to him on XERB, that would come in on the skip and so forth.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks for calling. We got a whole board.
If I could just say one thing, Michael. One of the things the caller is exemplifying is how radio people use theater of the mind, because they don't really see the people, they don't necessarily know what they look like, and yet they're intrigued by them by virtue of their voices and what
they
say.
It's almost like they're coming into your they're coming into your home.
That's right.
And you feel a connection with them. That's why I like KSEO so much, because you're local and I feel so connected to some of the people. It's just like we're friends, like I know them.
That's what makes radio so special.
And that's why I don't want to even be in the business if I can't have that kind of a radio station with local personalities and real people, not just a computer running the whole radio station from a closet somewhere, which is what 90% plus of the radio stations left are, right, Mickey? I'm not exaggerating, am I?
Unfortunately, that's what's happening.
And so, that's what I hope you don't lose when you.
Well, that's why we're doing.
Sad when I heard you were selling at the station.
Yeah. Well, I want to do other things, or I want to, it's time already. But hopefully, we'll have someone own it who will continue the format, and maybe even let me have the Saturday special. It'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Susan, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. I appreciate it. We love our listeners too. Robert in Santa Cruz. Second chance. Are you there? All right. So there goes Robert. Billy.
Michael.
You're on. KSCO, that is.
Well, I need to thank you and the gentleman guest, because both of you run stations that are really been important in my life. And, if it wasn't for Ron Owens' ego and his refusal to take no for an answer when he wanted to have weekends off,
I wouldn't have gotten my start on radio as an instant guest on his show. And you know how you like to talk, Michael, all the time about, gee, radio would be great for an owner if the host didn't have egos? You might check that question with your guest there.
Did I say that?
You said that to me and live on the air a number of times.
Let me get this straight. That's what an ignoramus would say. It's the ego.
No one will listen to a radio host without ego. And you sort of got reminded about what you really knew about radio to be true.
Well, you're absolutely right. All performers have an ego. If they don't, frankly, they're not going to be good performers. It just goes with their performing ability.
And you know, Michael.
Yeah.
Whoever does take over the station actually should let you keep the Saturday special because it is the highest rated program here at this time, without a doubt.
Oh.
So you know, it makes business sense too. And as you know, I light up the phones. But when I sat in for you, I didn't have to work so hard because you do get the listeners more than any other program that you run.
Well, thank you, Billy, for saying kind things about poor old MC. Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
When you do the movie, are you going to put in the scene with you, me, and Roy?
I think so. I think that definitely needs to be put in there.
Okay, buddy.
Okay. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks,
talk to you later. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Give us a call. It's KSCO AM10E. It's MZ and Mickey Luckoff from KGO Radio on the Saturday special with you up until noontime. I believe Veronica in Aptos will be our next caller. Veronica, you are on the air.
Yes. Hi, how are you? I believe that it's kind of a weak point maybe in Santa Cruz, but I stopped listening to KGO or mostly Ron Owens when he said, there's something wrong with people that haven't at least tried drugs. I thought that was promoting drugs, and I thought that it's the wrong attitude for a station to take.
Well, wait a minute. People say something offends them on KSCO, and they say I'm never going to listen again because they got offended once. I mean, isn't that sort of a little narrow-minded? I mean, all due respect, you've called this show. I want to be nice to you, and Just because you're offended once, do you want to throw out the whole apple pie just because a fly lit on one piece of it or something?
I'm sure it wasn't just once. I think that he had so many liberal ideas that it must have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, and thanks for you. Have any? You want to talk to poor Veronica?
Well, I think you said it right, Michael. One comment by one host. We don't control what they say, and they're entitled to their opinion, and obviously the listeners have their choice what they want to listen to.
Sure. I listen to Gene Burns, and, he's wonderful, and several others, but Ron Owens, I just turn right away.
Well, at least you didn't tune out of the whole radio station. When someone offends them on KSCO, a lot of the people tune out. They at least they say they're not going to listen to the station at all anymore, and that just... I just ridicule people like that. It just doesn't make any sense. And you know damn well they're listening more and more, even to the people that they say they're never going to listen to. Anyhow, thanks, Veronica. Appreciate your call.
Makes it tough, yeah.
Oh, say that again? Joe in Seaside, I think you're on the air.
Hello.
How are you?
Is Mickey Luckoff there?
He sure is. I could see him with my own eyeballs.
Mr. Luckoff?
Yes, sir.
We accept your unconditional surrender. Put up the KSCO flag up in San Francisco, and we'll call it even.
What is that supposed to mean?
The battle that we have fought for conservative values has been won.
By?
By KSCO.
Well, wait a minute. There's the KSFO station, you know, that's a conservative station. In fact, it's probably more conservative than KSCO.
Absolutely, but... the battle must be won from sea to shining sea, and KGO must get on the ball because for too long they've been spreading the other side, and people's liberties have been suffering because of it. But we're willing to let bygones be bygones if they will surrender. And
now, Joe and Cisa, it sounds like you're being a little facetious here, but you know, how do you argue with the rating success that KGO continues to enjoy?
When you have that many people, it's just It's just a natural, you know, it's like the big guy versus the little guy.
But cities in the United States that are even more populated than the San Francisco Bay Area have radio stations that are not consistently number one for even 1 year, you know, even four ratings books, let alone 116. Oh my God.
Well, but as you know, KSCO has the most educated people.
Not educated.
The smartest, most
intelligent listeners.
Most intelligent. There we go.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for your...
Wait a minute. Can I ask you a favor? I'm over here in Seaside with Tim Cunha. He's fighting an eminent domain battle here against abusive...
What does that have to do with our topic today, Joe?
It shows how KSCO is always on the ball, always out there getting the pulse of the people. And I'll put him on right now.
Hey, wait a minute. No. There are too many other people that want to talk to Mickey, so we'll do it. Kim can call us some other time, okay? Rich and Salinas. Michael Savage, you want to talk about Michael Savage?
Yeah, I'm just curious what Mickey Luckoff's take on Michael Savage's situation is. They're trying to obviously get him off the radio station, and obviously you're dealing with the Bernie Ward situation.
Well, let's not talk about that, but you want to talk about Michael Savage?
Well, Michael's a brilliant fellow. He does touch on some very sensitive areas. He's not on either of our stations. He's on another Bay Area radio station. But Michael picks his battles, and he picks some pretty tough ones. But he himself happens to be a very, very bright man.
Well, obviously, you know, trying to eliminate anybody from the radios from whatever side you're from is not too good, because when we start eliminating people, even if we don't like their points of view, then it
you're absolutely
going
right
down the wrong road.
You're absolutely right about that, and I heartily defend that theory.
So what are you talking about, Rich? And by the way, does your last name start with D?
No,
D. Okay. All right. I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe it's the group CARE, the Muslim group that's been going after him.
Oh, okay.
That's one group. Michael's got a couple groups after him, pretty intensely right now. But he's a fighter.
Yeah, and he's got Horowitz, I think, is his attorney.
Going after
throwing lawsuits against the groups now too. So.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call to KSCO. Doug in Santa Cruz, you want to talk about talk radio? So talk away, Doug.
Hey, Michael, this is Doug. Do you mind if I record this conversation in Santa Cruz?
I don't mind if you record the conversation in Santa Cruz.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, you guys put me in touch with my past, listening to my dad's talk radio shows when he was driving back and forth wherever it was he was going. He was a diehard KMOX fan from the Midwest.
Oh, wow.
And, listening to these radio stations just put me in touch with those memories. You know, if it wasn't listening to talk radio, he's listening to the ball game or whatever else was being argued about.
KMOX has always been one of the true dominant radio stations in America. It's based out of St. Louis. They no longer carry the Cardinals, which was a huge, huge change in their setup. But KMOX is the only radio station in America who has been number one in their market longer than KGO has.
I didn't think anybody had been.
We've been in the major, we call the top 15 markets.
Oh, Mickey.
KMOX is
I'm crushed.
Well, you got to be honest with them.
I appreciate your people. But I'm amazed that I didn't know that. I mean, that's the Jack Buck station, right? I mean, and that's the station that President Clinton made his Rush Limbaugh remarks in a plane above, you know, about Rush Limbaugh has 3 hours a day to influence people, and he gets a lot more airtime than I do. You know, so whatever.
But the thing I found amazing about KMOX is you used to be able to listen to it from all the way from Chicago down to Louisiana.
That's absolutely right. They're in the middle of the country. They have this huge, huge signal, and it does it spreads a great part of central part of the United States.
This is awful. That invalidates my promo that's been running all week. We've put out inaccurate information.
How so? What does it say? Just says number one.
No, it said no other station's ever done that.
Well, no major market station. Okay.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. hey, Santa Cruz, Doug, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Well, thank you.
And AM 1080 KSCO. Sorry about that. Cut you off here. Didn't mean to. Our next caller will be Craig on a cell phone in San Jose. Craig, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, Mary Zucchini and Happy Kundalini.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, you know it's Santa Cruz, man.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, but you're in San Jose.
Yeah, I am. I'm on a cell phone. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Yeah. Remember the days when you couldn't mention there was a rule you couldn't mention KGO or
any other radio station, and I think you even still maintain that rule at KGO, don't you, Mickey?
Yeah. No civilization outside of KSCO, right?
Well, yeah, but after a while, I just sort of mellowed out.
I know.
Well, Michael mentioned another set of call letters earlier, and that's why he's buying lunch today.
Yeah, and delighted to do so.
Michael?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's one other thing folks should remember. You can't have Mickey Luckoff on the air and not mention the call letter to the station he's responsible for.
Oh, it's been done.
Oh, really?
Come on.
Well, certain television stations in town will cover a story and won't
identify. They'll say a certain radio station. Yeah, what's happened to
and
us.
And a certain newspaper will quote a story and not give the call letters.
Oh. Hey, guys, you think I was going to let you go?
No.
Before mentioning, Bernie.
Hey, listen, let's sort of steer away from that, okay? It's just, it's not something that we want to do.
Want a quick comment. You know, I always knew there was something wrong with the guy, man. But kitty porn? Jeez, that guy is stupid.
Well, don't convict anyone. Don't convict anyone.
Yeah, I know. Man's innocent.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
It's like Osama bin Laden. They're all innocent until proven guilty. But I wanted to ask you about it looks like there's an opening on God Talk, and there's a buddy of mine, Brent Walters. Do you know who he is? Ron Owens. He goes on Ron Owens. He's a scholar of early Christianity. He goes on Ron Owens a few times a year. I think he would be perfect as the new guy for God Talk.
Well, thanks. We appreciate the suggestion.
Okay, yeah. Craig, thanks for your call to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. John in Aptos, you're on KSCO with MZ and Mickey.
Well, Mickey, we don't get 560 real strong down here, so I think it would be a good idea if you were to purchase 1080, so you'd have the 560 signal taking care of the North Bay and the 1080 taking care of the South Bay. What do you think?
That's not a bad idea. That's been discussed. The reason why it wouldn't make good financial success is because, as Michael mentioned earlier, Santa Cruz is really not part of the San Francisco metro market. If Michael wanted to simply repeat KSFO's product on 1080, he could do that, but I don't think he wants to do that.
Well, I hope somebody buys it. I hope it doesn't go to
Somebody will buy it.
But we don't want it to go to foreign language station. We lose out. Like I say, we don't get 560 strong down here, and then.
Well, you make an interesting point. I think that because I think it is the only station, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, that's licensed to Santa Cruz. I think that the public could get very, very active with the FCC if that prospect should arise. And they could lobby the FCC not to permit something like that to happen.
Well, you mentioned earlier that there's changes going on in the industry. Do you think that's a reason why KSCO has lookers but no offers?
Well, no. It depends. It depends on the marketplace and how many people are interested in a market of a certain size and how much it costs to buy the radio station.
See, it hasn't been exposed nationally. It's only been exposed locally. The Santa Cruz Sentinel did a front page story the day or two after I announced it on the air. And we talk about it occasionally on KSCO airwaves, and that's it. I mean, the station hasn't been marketed at all, and it's by design. I figure the chances are best that it will fall into local hands if the buyer comes from the ranks of a local listener who understands us and knows us and likes us. And so we'll give it a little bit more time and see what happens. And if my theory doesn't work or doesn't prove successful, then we'll go on to, plan B, I guess. But I want to let everybody know, I love KSCO, I'll always love it. You know, that's why I want to continue to have an association with it. But I just don't want to be responsible for it anymore. Let's let somebody else do the honors, okay? You know, and hopefully that somebody else can be a better manager than I've been, you know, over the years. Because I haven't been a very good manager. I've been an okay visionary, but not a good manager, really. And that's not to say that the people that we have working at KSCO are not the best group of employees any company could ever have. And I really mean that. And you know I mean that, Bill and Dave and everybody else who's there. But John and Aptos, thanks for your call to the Saturday special, okay? Here's Phil in Capitola. Phil, you're on the air on KSCO. It's 11:34. Yeah. Hi.
Hey, Mickey, this is Phil. I wanted to I kind of agreed with you on the essence of the ego and necessary for the personas. Definitely, if you take a look at Ron and Ray and all the rest of the crew there, Dr. Bill, I kind of agree that it definitely adds to their twist and their persona. But I did want to say that the person who did, and I really thought was the anchor to KS, to your station, was basically Pete Wilson. His approach, his self-deprecating approach, his almost humble approach to looking at things with a clarity that just nobody else had to, you know, everybody else had their biases. He approached things in such a wonderful way. And I'd been kind of away for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, I came and tuned in and, you know, Gene would be sitting in or somebody else would be sitting in. And I didn't know what happened. And then I just Googled just recently and found out that he died. And I have to tell you, it was a punch in the stomach.
Well, it was certainly a punch to us, too. It was a tragic loss. It's one that never should have happened. We've chastised the medical community for it, as well as made suggestions as to how to prevent this happening in the future. I just read yesterday where a Santa Rosa broadcaster just passed away under the same circumstances, which are totally avoidable. But you're absolutely right about Pete. He was a fabulous person and a wonderful broadcaster. And Pete could have been the best of all time if he didn't have television shackles put on him. But we miss Pete in many, many, many ways. He's a terrific guy.
Yeah, I do too. And it's really sad that somebody didn't do due diligence to figure out his medical condition before they put him under a knife. So I miss him terribly. And I don't know how you guys get back and find another Pete, but I have to say, not in a pejorative way, but I think it has impacted the actual station's presence in that time slot.
Phil, don't give Gil Gross a chance. He's a pretty special broadcaster.
Phil, thanks for bringing this up. It leads me to a question. There's no limit to the questions I'd like to ask Mickey. And if you're on the if you're waiting on hold, we promise we'll get you on the air. Mickey, back in the days when you hired Gene Rusko to do weekends, he was a newscaster, and I thought, boy, that was a pretty bold move here. I mean, newscasters are supposed to be journalists, and I thought that was, you know, pretty unusual. I said, gee, would I do that? I said, yeah, I probably would. That's something I would do, but I was surprised that you did it. And Pete Wilson is in the same. I mean, he was a TV news anchor and a very popular one. You don't usually put, I guess you do nowadays, but in the olden days, you wouldn't normally put somebody who was in a journalist's position into a commentator's role.
Pete Wilson was a talk show host before he ever went to television as a TV newscaster. I knew that. I went after him a number of years ago when he was with... in fact, he did fill in for us when he was at Channel 7. Then he went to Channel 4, and I got him to do fill-in once in a while. But he was so good on the radio. He was so personable. I'll tell you a quick story about Pete Wilson, just to show you what kind of a guy he was, and your caller exemplified that a minute ago. Pete Wilson, one of his great frustrations was driving down a freeway and seeing someone with a bumper sticker on their car. It made him crazy because he couldn't go talk to the person about what the bumper sticker said. And that's the kind of guy he was. He did, if I can tell, just take a minute,
sure.
Michael, to tell a quick Pete Wilson story. Pete Wilson got into the radio station, and for 2 hours before his program went on the air, he literally tried his subjects out amongst all his peers that were anywhere in a 25-foot radius. Then he did the show. Then he went downstairs into the Channel 7 news department, and he spent another hour recapping everything he had done on the radio. He truly loved radio, and he was very, very good at it.
Yeah, I'll say it was very, very sad. I was shocked when I heard that was in July, I think, that this happened, huh? Mm-hmm.
It showed on the air, by the way.
Ooh, yeah. While we're on that on the subject,
oh, I didn't answer your question about Gene Rusko. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, all of us, Michael, I think, have at least 1 hour of a good news talk show in us. It's amazing people who have tried it and said, this is not for me. There's a television newscaster in town who once said to me, Mickey Luckoff, don't you ever ask me to do a news talk show, because it takes a certain amount of depth. You have to have a certain amount of knowledge, background, and the ability to perform and to entertain as well. Rusko always wanted to do a talk show, and
so he was always bugging you while he was a newscaster.
Exactly,
let me do a talk show, and it was a pretty arch conservative.
Yeah, Gene did a nice job. He was capable of it, and he wasn't just a person who came in and read news. He really knew what the facts were, and he was willing to do the research for subject so he could go on the air and speak intelligently.
Mickey, on our stations, I think this is common, fact in industry, as go your morning show, so goes your radio station. I mean,
true, especially true in adult radio stations.
Yeah. So we have a morning show that's pretty established that has 4 or 5 people working on it. Bill, who's on with us now, is one of the people who frequently is on the morning show. Bill is very versatile. He's not the regular anchor, but we make it a point on our morning show on KSCO to not be political, to be apolitical if possible. It's possible. That's the way we run it. In the afternoon drive program, our host Charlie Friedman he's definitely skews conservative, but he's not. He's not in your face, He's not. It's not a political show any more than our morning drive show is. Clearly, you have the same philosophy with your success with KGO. I mean, your morning news with Ed and Rosie is not political. It's a news show, okay? But on KSFO, it's not the same story. It's a very politically conservative program. Why is that?
That's what conservatives want, Michael. We found that conservative audiences want a full diet of conservative programming, and anytime we've tried anything different, it's not well received at all, and that's characteristic of most of the conservatively programmed radio stations around the country. That's the way the listeners want it.
It probably makes you bristle when people say that KSFO is your conservative station and KGO is your liberal station. Am I right?
No. I tell you what, we were very surprised by something that came up recently. We research KGO pretty intensely. And the last survey we did, the researchers themselves, a very, very well-respected firm, came back to us and said, you have something here that we have never seen in another radio station we've ever researched. They said KGO is the most balanced radio station that we have ever heard and done any work for. We were very pleased by that, because that's truly what we try to accomplish. Now, you may characterize us as a liberal. Well, let's face it, we're in San Francisco.
I don't. I know some people do.
We're in San Francisco, which is considered an ultra-liberal market.
Right.
But we really strive for balance on the radio station. And I know some of your own listeners here have mentioned our late shows, which always have been extremely liberal. But we like to feel that we can balance it throughout the day.
Uh-huh. I felt the equivalent. See, I don't have the money to do the market research that you guys do.
Oh, sure you do.
No,
you just
really
don't want to spend it,
no,
Michael.
No, I really don't.
Oh, yeah,
really
you
don't.
Do.
That costs a lot of money. I can't buy a billboard at the intersection of 280 and Highway 17 like you guys can. I mean, I'm still a little guy. I've had some success doing things different sorts of ways, for sure. And plan to have plenty more of that. But research costs a lot of money. Am I right? I mean, it really does.
It's relative.
Okay.
Selling candy bars, whether you're selling health drinks, whether you're selling radio stations, marketing has to be part of your budget. Your own advertisers, who you're trying to sell all the time to come on the radio station, you're encouraging them to make an investment in their businesses. Same thing applies to you.
I'm not going to argue with him. No, you're right. I mean, who could argue with that? But I want to say that I felt the equivalent warmness in my heart that you just described from this research when back in the, first four or five years of ownership of the radio station, people would regularly say, you guys have sold out to the left. And then other people would say, you guys have sold out to the right. So I figured, hey, you know, we're doing something right here.
My mail
and,
is...
And I didn't need to spend $100,000 to some research organization to tell me that.
Well, that's not the only thing we research, but no, my mail comes in the very same way. They'll and you know you are doing something right when you get it from both sides.
Right, exactly. What could a talk radio show be on KSEO or any station or any network without a call from Richard N. Watsonville, who has been memorialized in the pages of a book all about talk radio? Let's bring Richard on. Hey, Richard, you're on KSCO with Mickey and MZ.
Hello, Michael and Mr. Luckoff. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I think Mr. Walkoff up there at KGO is still reeling from the days of the 49ers. I don't know if you've listened to him, Mr. Luckoff, on the radio over on KSFO. By the way, how many watts is KSFO?
KSFO is 5,000-watt station. It will become 50 in the next year or so.
Wow.
Really? Will it have the same coverage area as KGO, or will it be going certain directions?
It'll go a slightly different direction, but it'll still be as strong as KGO.
Because KSCO down here in the Santa Cruz area is actually in the Salinas market.
Right.
Salinas Monterey market.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in time in history in radio did on-air talent start making more money than general managers? Or is that true? I mean, I've heard that ever since you've been at KGO, that the on-air talent's making more than you are. And when I was in radio, on-air talent was the lowest paid people behind the microphone.
Yeah, well, I'd certainly say that the pendulum has swung in a different direction. Major markets, top talent, as I alluded to earlier, very, very difficult to find and very, very important to keep. And local level and certainly on a syndicated level, they do make, many of them do make more money than the managers themselves. We're paid to run a profitable business. And if you have to pay certain people more than you do, well, that's the price of it. Baseball teams, football teams, same way.
Right. What about the Arbitron? You guys get the Arbitron every quarter, whereas down in this market, we used to have to deal with it just once a year and be stuck with those numbers.
We get it quarterly now, Richard, and have for the years I've been in.
Yeah, but I was wanting to ask Mr. Luckoff, do you really need the book?
Yeah, we need the book because that's what most of the major advertisers base their selections on.
Yeah, I know the agencies make their buys out of that from out of the area, but I mean KGO, everybody knows that that's the place to go in San Francisco in that market.
We'd like to think that, but believe it or not, we have San Francisco has more stations per capita than any of the top I think 10 markets in the United States.
Okay. Let me ask you these last two questions real quick. Logbooks. There is no such thing as a traffic logbook anymore where the FCC can actually come in and ask you to show them their public file or your public file, is there?
Oh, yes.
Not only the FCC, the public itself.
Between the normal regular hours, business hours, and all that stuff. Okay, last question. The cheapest 30-second and 60-second commercial in your entire life, what has it been?
The cheapest in my entire life?
That you've ever seen a 30-second commercial and a 60-second commercial sold for.
KGO you're talking about?
Right.
No, I you know what? Off the top of my head, I couldn't give you an answer to that.
Well, I know when I was in radio back in the 70s here, in this market, it was $3 for a 30 and $4 for a 60.
Well, we'd have trouble processing it for that amount of money.
So what are they going for now?
Oh, it's sometimes in the thousands.
It's a lot more than KSCO
Amazing.
Charges. A lot
All
more.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you much.
Okay, thank you, Richard. We got Soquel Bob, Ed at Aptos, Bernie in Santa Cruz, Jim in Capitola. We guarantee that if you guys stay on hold, we'll get to you, but we got to do a commercial break, don't we, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, how long is this one?
About 4 minutes.
Okay, let's go for it and stay with us. We're in the home stretch of the Saturday special with Mickey and MZ, so we'll be right back.
Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
The sun sets earlier and the night air becomes colder. It's time again to supplement with extra light and warmth. Hello, Michael Olson here with the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. The best way to add light and warmth to your winter evenings is with a fresh, ever so fragrant Lions Club Christmas tree. Lion Christmas trees, or Hanukkah bushes as fellow Lion Arnie Levine calls them, will lift the spirits of your family and friends in ways no artificial made-in-China plastic fantastic apparition could ever do. But don't take my word for it. Visit the Lions Club Christmas tree lot and see the magnificent Douglas, Grand, and Noble firs for yourself. And for a little extra warmth, know that 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of a lion tree will help your neighbors see and hear, and your youth grow into productive citizens. Pick up the spirits of your family and friends with a Christmas tree from the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. Now located at the Elks Club, Graham Hill and Jewel Street, across from the cemetery in Santa Cruz. Thank you and happy holidays.
Great people, great neighborhoods, great neighbors. That's what we have a lot of in our area, but some people forget to make the time to enjoy these things. Randy Turnquist has a passion for real estate and homes, and of course, neighborhoods. His neighbors will tell you his family and their activities make the neighborhood a better place to live. So don't be shy. Step up and make things happen in your neighborhood. If you don't know how to start, call Randy at 831-566-2590 or visit KSCO.com and search for Realtor.
Every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, you can now listen to Surf Talk Radio right here on KSCO AM 1080. Hi, my name is Mark Kent, and I'll talk to anyone with a good take on surfing. We cover surf travel, board design. We'll talk to the young groms, to the old geezers, and from time to time, we get a famous name to drop in on us. Hey, it's all about being there at the right time in this wave for world. So catch Surf Talk Radio every Sunday morning, 8 to 9, right here on AM 1080.
Brought to you exclusively by Arrow's Surf Shop, located at 2324 Mission Street, Santa Cruz.
Well, here it is, that time of year when we all give out those greetings of the season. And so I want to wish everyone a happy graduation and Father's Day.
That's Hanukkah, Christmas, and New Year's.
But I did that last year.
Yeah, and it's that time of year again.
Oh, okay.
Never mind, we'll piece the holiday greeting thing in a minute. Just tell them who you are.
I'm the same guy I was last year.
And who is that?
Don Husing.
Don, maybe we should up your medication.
Oh, okay.
I've been told I'm hot. Unfortunately, it was a male who told me that just now.
That was only in the broadcast context.
Oh, I see. Okay. Jeez. All right, we're in the home stretch of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. And we've got Michael Luckoff, a.k.a. Mickey Luckoff, president and general manager of KGO Radio. I always thought it was the most successful radio station in the country in terms of being number one consistently for so, you know, more than, but as a major market, that is true. That is true. Yeah, we have people calling who want to get on the air with us here. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to talk to us. Let's go to our next caller, SoCal Bob. Hello, SoCal Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. Mr. Luckoff, it's a pleasure to talk to you. There's one talk show host that, you know, to me, it's just my opinion. They all have their following. This man is head and shoulders above all the rest. That's John Rothman. Because of his background, he does his research and his historical perspective. What do you think?
He's a very, very bright fellow, and he's as decent a man as he is bright. He's a terrific guy.
That's all I wanted to say this morning. Thank you for
being
here. Bye.
Now, he is so different. I'm happy you brought that up, SoCal Bob. Rothman is so different from the other guy, who's from the regular guy, Taliaferro. I mean, I would think that, you know, you would put sort of like-minded, you know, politically people on to fill in for other hosts.
Called diversity. You want to be as diverse as possible. We offer our listeners as many perspectives as we're able to.
Yeah, but during the same time slot. I mean, it would be like putting a reasonable person on where there's a... Never mind.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Never mind.
Finish painting yourself in the corner. That was good.
Never mind. It's much more important that we get to Ed in Aptos. Ed, you're on the air.
Greetings.
Hey.
First thing, thanks for having him on. It's a very interesting program.
You mean me having Michael on?
Well, both. I like the background radio information. We don't get that on a day-to-day from radio. And I like, you know, when you get on with Ron Owens, I like that point of it. So it's interesting, you know, for somebody that kind of is a semi-radio freak. One of the questions I had was, who is this? Was it Gene Rusko that was on KSCO and went to KGO?
KGO and went to KSFO. Or what was it?
Rusko was it. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you got the right person.
He was on KSCO, and then, because he was doing the South Bay, it seemed like, No.
You know what? Rusko was our South Bay reporter. It was KGO's South Bay reporter.
Not KSCO. He's never been on KSCO yet.
Who was? There was some fellow that early on from KSCO, and for a short while he was on KGO, and he was doing the...
As a host?
He was a South Bay reporter. And I, you know,
to this day, there's Jennifer Hodges, and I think she's still listening.
He was before Jennifer Hodges, and his name has escaped me. But okay. It's been so long ago, and the senior moments are coming fast and furious. So.
Okay.
One other thing, I was just wondering with KGO, behind the scenes staffing, it would seem with radio stations going to being computer run that you have a high amount of overhead with your behind-the-scenes personnel.
Oh, we sure do.
could you kind of characterize that with other operations? Do you keep an eye on that as far as your competition, what kind of ratios they run? Or
you mean as far as the backup is concerned, the staffing?
Yeah, the staffing. I mean to put out the product. Like, yeah. What would, say, for the news station, how much staffing do they have to have to get their product on air versus yours?
Right. Probably
that's a personal question.
Well, no, that's fine. The news, the all news station you're referring to, and a live local news talk station like KGO has tremendous resources tied up in the product. It's one of the things that, frankly, we're always concerned about when you're under corporate scrutiny, especially when times are tough. And these stations are so labor intensive that we're always fighting to maintain our staffs, especially as, you know, we were talking about the internet earlier, but that's now requiring more personnel. So there's a huge amount of staff support to put on products like this.
One technical question as I leave, I do quite a bit of traveling, and I've noticed that, I've been able to pick up KNDR, a little easier than KGO when I'm in the Midwest or something like that. And even I used to fly commercially, and when I was out over the ocean, I'd tune one of our radios into.
Ed, we got to move along.
But
we got other callers, please.
I've always been able to pick up KNDR a little easier than
than KGO, okay. So I'm just curious if...
Well, they have a terrific signal, too, and it just happens to go in a different direction, and but you know you can always pick up KGO on your computer.
Ed, thanks for your call. Here's Bernie in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO with Mickey and MZ.
Thank you. I have a question for Mickey, please. Question is there any kind of tacit agreement between the stations? For instance, if I get in my car at 8:25 and I miss the financial report on one station, I know enough to switch over to KGO, get it at about 28 minutes after the hour. Then if I miss it there, I know to go to another station and get a financial report about 35 minutes of the hour.
Positively no agreement between stations whatsoever. I think the stations do counter-program each other, though, but absolutely no agreement whatsoever.
I frequently wondered about that, how they both happen to not have the same financial report at the same time.
Well, you can put your mind at rest.
No right. agreement there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Thank you, Bernie, for your call. That's it. That's the last call. We got less than a minute left. Bill, thanks very much for being with us here, and Dave also in the background. Mickey,
it was our extreme pleasure.
You're a good friend of mine. A great. What can I say? I've always admired you, and I've always enjoyed our friendship. And thanks very much for being on with us. Hopefully, we'll be able to have you on again sometime. Here.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And to your listeners who obviously listen to KSCO as well as KGO, thank you. And I appreciate your comments and your input.
And you can hear this program on demand at SaturdaySpecial.com for the next week. Take care.
That's all, folks. This is KSCO Santa Cruz. It's 12 noon.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jay Metzler. The nation's midsection still a mess. A pair of ice storms leaving hundreds of thousands without electricity. Fox's Carol McKinley is in Oklahoma City.
When a tree's branch gets heavy with ice, that brings the power line down. And right now, 197,000 people in the state of Oklahoma still without power. They're going to call a state of disaster emergency for President Bush. If he does go ahead and go along with that, that'll be the ninth of this year for the state.
More than a foot of snow on the ground in Kansas. The storm system expected to hit the northeast early tomorrow morning. The state of emergency lifted in Pakistan. President Pervez Musharraf making the announcement in a nationally televised address, insisting the state of emergency saved his country from destruction. Opposition leader Benazir Bhutto had this response.
It's a good step that General Musharraf has taken to lift emergency, although we're just 23 days away from the elections. And while lifting emergency is, there's still a great degree of concern here that the elections are not going to be fair. So I think Pakistan still has a long way to go.
The former prime minister had been under house arrest. Escaping from custody in Islamabad, a British suspect held in an alleged plot to blow up transatlantic jetliners. Rashid Rauf had just appeared before a judge. Two Pakistani police officers now being questioned about how he got away. President Bush urging Congress to approve more money for the war on terror in his weekly radio address.
Our troops are striking blows against the terrorists and extremists in Iraq and Afghanistan. And these funds are critical to their continued success.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delivering the Democrats' radio response.
Our energy bill will strengthen our national security.
Urging the president to sign it once it reaches his desk. He says he will veto it. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Melanie Grenham, Fox News Radio, and we're spending a few moments with Tommy Hilfiger. What we're discussing today is a new book called Iconic America. Can you tell us about it?
It's about pop culture. It's also about the history of America and a lot of nuances that maybe you never learned in history class.
Of course, Tommy Hilfiger, the name, it needs no introduction, but George Lois is a name that folks may be a little bit less familiar with, but certainly most Americans have seen his work. The two of you have really collaborated. elaborated on this.
Well, George Lois is a genius. He really is responsible for pulling all of these pieces together. It was certainly my idea to create an iconic American book, but without George, it never would have come together to the extent that it has and as uniquely as it has, because he positioned sort of the good, the bad, and the ugly all together and makes it very interesting page by page.
We've just spent a few moments with Tommy Hilfiger. I'm Melanie Grenham, and this is Fox News Radio.
Stunning discovery by the driver of a Phoenix trash truck. Two young children, a 9-month-old girl and 18-month-old boy, abandoned in the cold behind a downtown business. Police Sergeant Andy Hill.
Miraculously, they had no damage whatsoever. They were in pretty good shape. They were taken to a local children's hospital that did a great job with them, and fortunately, they're okay.
Payback from FEMA, the federal agency, today announcing it will reimburse homeowners who elevated their homes after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Tens of thousands in Louisiana and Mississippi paying out of pocket for the job because the work was either underway or completed before FEMA reviewed the paperwork for pre-approval, which is usually required. All that glitters in this case was gold, a gift to the Salvation Army.
A South African gold coin has been found in a Washington State kettle.
It's worth about $800.
Stacy Howard with the Salvation Army says this has been happening for the past 25 years. This season across the country, the charity's received about 8 coins. She says they look through the kettles carefully for the special coins and other stuff.
Unfortunately, we get some other random things in it. We got some chewed off taffy last week in that same area.
As for who gives them,
it's kind of a mystery.
She says they just hope the giver keeps on giving. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
Looking forward to getting the lead out. A much talked about Led Zeppelin tour. Not going to happen.
If you thought the Zeppelin show in London was preamble to a tour, that hope has become a lead balloon. Robert Plant will tour with Alison Krauss. Krauss and Plant have collaborated on an album, Raising Sand, and they will perform across Europe and are expected in the United States in the summer. That tour begins in Birmingham, England, in May. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
You don't have to feel bad about not getting tickets. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, December 15th, 2007, and today's forecast calls for a mixture of clouds and sun. Highs should reach around 60 degrees with winds light and variable. Tonight you can expect partly cloudy conditions with lows around 40 degrees, and tomorrow looks like it'll be partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy as the day progresses. Highs should reach around 60 degrees, and tomorrow night cloudy along with occasional showers and lows around 43 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 foot or less along with the northwest swell, 3 to 6 feet at 15 seconds. Outside the station, it's 52 degrees. The time is now 12:06, and we're getting ready to bring you perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.